2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also. Now, he takes it for granted that there are some things we should know by adding the little word also. Always be hungry for truth, not for the truth that you understand, but for the truth that you do not understand. Not the particular spiritual level that you find yourself on in the knowledge of God's Word, but ever hungering to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be an also experience with us. So this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, perilous times means dangerous times. And he tells us when these dangerous times are to be expected. The last days are not limited to just a period of time shortly before the second coming of Christ. The last days had a beginning, they have a continuation, and they have a climax. The last days started and began when Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago. In the book of Hebrews, God makes it clear that in these last days, God hath spoken unto us by His Son. And we know that would take us back 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ actually and literally spoke and taught the Word of God. So we've been living in the last times for the last 2,000 years. We're in that continuation mode. But there's coming a day, my dear friends, when we're going to hit the climax of the last days, and the Lord will come from heaven to this earth again the second time. He wants us to be aware of the fact that as these days continue in which you and I are living, they're becoming more and more dangerous, more and more perilous. There was a time when no home had an alarm or a security system. Matter of fact, a lot of homes back where I was raised didn't even have a front door. But times have changed. Everybody not just wants one alarm system, one security system. They want about four or five, unless the first four fluke out and don't work. We have locks, not just one single lock on the door. We have many locks on our door. We have locks on our windows to keep danger out. We are aware of perilous times that we're living in. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form, and might I add, our form has never been better than it is today. We have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, out of that list of things that Paul speaks about as being sin, he mentions in verse number 2, one of those things I'd like to deal with this morning. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Of all places for that word to appear, is right in the cesspool of this list of horrible things in the eyes of God Almighty, unthankfulness, and I want to speak on the sin of ingratitude. the sin of not being thankful. One of the fire marks, I believe, of the end times is that we no longer have what the Bible preaches all the time, and that is sin. What is sin? There's no such thing as sin anymore. It went out a long time ago. But even in these verses and some other verses we'll not have the time to read, the Bible is very clear on specifically naming some things that are wrong. Now, I'm going to give you a list of some of these things, not all of them. And I want to remind you this is not according to public opinion, because public opinion has absolutely no idea of what's wrong and right anymore. But it is according to the Bible. It is truth. Adultery is a sin. Now, the world has come along and said, well, you've got to figure in mutual consent. And if you figure in mutual consent, it really isn't quite as bad as if it were rape or this type thing. No, adultery is sin. Let that sink in. Fornication is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Idolatry is sin. Unbelief is sin. Murder is sin. Profanity is sin. Pride is a sin. Covetousness is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Gambling is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. Disobedient or dishonor toward parents is a sin. Lying is a sin. Slander is a sin. Deceit is a sin. Hatred is a sin. And ingratitude is a sin. It is a sin to be ungrateful and unthankful. In our scripture, Paul is warning Timothy about some of these things that could be expected in the last days. And right in the middle of this terrible list is the term unthankful. Unthankful. It is not that we have not always been faced with some of these things, but they will intensify and get worse in the days ahead. The Bible enjoins us to be a grateful and a thankful people. Learn to be thankful for what you have. Learn to be grateful for what you have. There are a couple of passages in 1 Chronicles. You may want to turn to 1 Chronicles. That's over in the Old Testament, chapter 23 and also chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles 23, verses 24 and following. This passage comes right at the transition state when David was soon going to die and Solomon, his son, would become king over Israel. He says, these were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of their fathers, as they were counted by number of names. And David has given them an organization that they have had since God originated them as a nation. It would continue to bless them. And what the priests would do, they would take care of the things of God from the age of 20 years and upward. Verse 25, for David said, the Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. God was so good to Israel. And also to the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. Not only that, God says you're not going to have to pack up the tabernacle and take it from place to place. We're going to do away with the tabernacle. God will build you a house, and you can come to the house of God to worship. And then down in verse number 30, he says, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. And likewise, at evening. Every morning, the people were exhorted to stand and thank the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy. And then before they went to bed at night, they were to repeat it again to thank the Lord and exhibit praise unto his name. Now over in the 29th chapter of that same book, verses 10 through 13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Now notice who he's bragging on here. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. We thank thee and praise thy glorious name. The Bible enjoins us to be a grateful and a thankful people. You need not turn to it, but listen to the reading of these passages. Psalm 100, verse 4. When I was a child in Sunday school, I was required to memorize the 100th Psalm. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. 1 Chronicles 16:35. Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you know what God's will is for your life? It is to learn to give thanks. Thanks. If it is the will of God to give thanks, then it is a sin not to give thanks. Therefore, let's look closely at this sin of ingratitude. Number one, it is a prevalent sin. It's a prevalent sin. In Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, a story you should be familiar with. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that is the Lord Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And I'm so grateful, my dear friends, that we do not have an epidemic of leprosy today. But it was a very common thing in the days of the New Testament and even in the Old Testament as well. And there met him 10 lepers, but they kept their distance from him. They stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, all 10 of them. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. 10 lepers, 9 of them were Jews, 1 of them was a Samaritan. And the only one out of the 10 that returned to say, Thank you, Lord, for healing me, was the one you would least expect, a Samaritan. Jesus answered, said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And a Samaritan was not considered so much as even a dog. He could not be numbered among the children of Israel. But this is the one that came back to thank the Lord. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Men commit ingratitude against God. Men commit ingratitude against God. Now, this message today is for me, but it is also for those who are in attendance. It is not for those who did not come today. It is for those of us who are here today. And I need to hear this message, and you need to hear this message, because if you're not careful in the last days, you're going to be full of confusion and griping and criticizing and utter misery. And you'll stop thanking the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy and for His grace. Men commit ingratitude against God. Let me read you from Deuteronomy 8, 12 through 14. He says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and we do like that feeling, don't we? And hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. The sin of forgetting. Forgetting what? The goodness and the mercy of the Lord. In Judges 8:34, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hand of all of their enemies. They just forgot it. In Psalm 106, verse number 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. You know, they were there for a number of years, and they had to suffer persecution and suffer hard times, and they cried out to God. They couldn't even sleep at night because of their pain, and they cried out for deliverance, and God sent them a deliverer. And then they forgot all about God. They forgot all about Him. So men commit ingratitude against God. Men commit ingratitude against men. You remember that prodigal who came to his father and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I've read that thing so many times, and I've never yet found where he said, thank you. I was threatened within an inch of my life when I was a child growing up. If somebody did something nice for me, I had sure enough better say, thank you. I made a mistake one day when I went with my mom, and we were invited to eat in a home. And when the lady brought the food in and they passed the food before me, I looked at the food and I said, I don't like it. My mother said, it's only by the grace of God you're not dead. She didn't ask you whether you liked it or not. She offered it out of the goodness of her heart. Learn to say thank you or no thank you. It's so easy to get coarse and hard and cute with this business of expressing gratitude. The Israelites against Moses. Amazing. All of those plagues that invaded the land and the people, and Moses was with them through it all. And God used Moses to lead them from captivity to freedom. And as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, what a glorious chapter 15 is in Exodus, where they begin singing and marching through the Red Sea. 2 million Jews, and not one of them were lost along the way, and not one of them got their feet wet. They went through on dry ground, and they got to the other side, and everybody joined the choir. One of the biggest choirs you could possibly ask for, singing praise to the Lord. About 2 days later, in Exodus 16, it says the whole congregation murmured. They said, Moses, have you brought us out here to die? Why, in Egypt, there were a lot of things we didn't have, but we had some leeks and some onions and some garlic. We had plenty to eat, and you brought us out here. And one complaint and one gripe after another. They forgot to be thankful. Thankful. So men commit ingratitude against men. I never read the story of David when he spied Bathsheba and wanted her for a lover and took her. She had to comply because he was the king. And as a result, she was expecting a baby. And this put David in a bad spot. And so he sent for her husband, who was on the front line of the battle, in the military, fighting for his country. Bring him home! And Uriah came in before David and said, David said to Uriah, you know, I've been observing you. You're one of our better soldiers, and you've been fighting for a long time. I brought you home so you can go home and be with your wife and spend some time with her. Of course, you know the story. David wanted to get off the hook, but it didn't work because Uriah said, you don't understand, my Lord. I believe that God has raised you up as my king, and I cannot have any pleasure whatsoever. I'll go back to the line or I'll stay here. I'll not even see my wife. David sure didn't like that. And so he had Uriah placed on the front line of the battle where he would surely meet with death. Boy, that's as thankless as you can get. It is a productive sin. Productive sin. By that I mean it is a sin which never stands alone. You'll never find somebody that has one little flaw, and that one little flaw is they're not thankful. Whenever they're not thankful, there'll be a whole trail following. It has a way of producing some other things. And that's what you find in this text. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, today we have manufactured a new definition for that, a new term for that. We just say they're kind of narcissistic. And since most people have no idea what narcissistic means, it means they're stuck on themselves. They're not concerned about anybody but themselves. It is a common thing. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous. Another good word for covetous is just downright greedy. Want everything they have and everything you have. Boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That means they were loveless. I wanted to kind of push that thing into a same-sex relationship, but it won't fit according to the Greek. It simply meant they were really antisocial. Oh, they would smile when they were in front of people, and they would smile when they spoke to you, but they didn't mean a word of it. Darling, you look so good today. Oh, that's a beautiful dress you have on. And when you leave, they say, that horrid piece of garbage, she got it from Kmart. Filled with it. Filled with it. False accusers. That means liars, incontinent, those who have no restraint whatsoever, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. But as I said to begin with, right in the middle of this is unthankful. 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 It is a productive sin, and we need to be careful for that. Ingratitude produces pride. It has a way, my dear friends. A person who does not practice being thankful for what they have get the idea that everybody owes them something. In 2 Chronicles 32, verses 24 through 26, let me turn to that. 2 Chronicles, we had 1 Chronicles a moment ago. This is 2 Chronicles 32. Verses 24 through 26. You remember Hezekiah became very, very sick unto death, and he prayed the Lord to have mercy on him. This is the scripture account for it. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and gave him a sign. Now you have to go to another book to find out what the sign was, but if you are familiar with Hezekiah, you know what God did for him. He not only healed him, but gave him 15 more years to live. Now, wouldn't you kind of think maybe if you were on your deathbed and you knew you were dying and the doctor said you were dying and the family came in, they were crying because they knew you were dying, and all of a sudden you felt a surge of life in you you'd never known before, and the doctor came in and said there's nothing wrong with you and you live for 15 more years. Wouldn't you just kind of think maybe one of the first things you'd do is say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." But not with Hezekiah. Rendering not again according to the benefit done unto him. I'm sure he made some promises, but he didn't fulfill any of them. And God had to bring judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Ingratitude produces pride. Ingratitude produces presumption. Ingratitude is saying, "I don't need you. Why thank you for doing for me what I deserve? You should have done it a long time ago." Children have a tendency, and not all are this way, but a few maybe are. Children are most guilty of presuming upon their parents. Nothing's ever good enough. Have to be careful about that. Be thankful for what you have. Now then, what is the prescription for this sin, the sin of ingratitude? What kind of medicine do you take for it? What kind of pill or tablet is available for it? Is there any cure for ingratitude? Number one, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Dear friend, you would not be here today. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. And I don't care what the color of your skin might be. You would not be here today had not somebody did something for you. Somebody cared for you. Somebody provided for you. Somebody took the place of your suffering, and you were able to be exempt from it because they cared for you. You were born. You were bathed. You were fed. You were housed. And you were cared for without charges. Today we drive a car. We don't have to walk. Now you don't appreciate that unless you've walked a lot. You have indoor plumbing. And you sure don't appreciate that until you know what outdoor plumbing is. You don't have to sleep outdoors. You sleep indoors instead of having to sleep out on the streets. My wife will verify this time and time again. I've made this statement, especially when it's cold, real cold, and the ice is falling outside and just about to freeze to death, you'll find me saying every once in a while, I'll say to my wife, "I'm so glad I don't have to sleep in the pasture tonight." That'd be a terrible thing. I have found myself going home from work on a winter evening and observe where would be the best ditch to sleep in if I had to sleep out. Listen, folk, we're rich. Do you hear me? We are absolutely rich. Somebody helped us get where we are today. We need to count our blessings. We need to consider the origin of our blessings. Where do they come from? James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Let me repeat that. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. There would be no jobs, my dear friends, that you could hold if God didn't give you the power to do those types of things. That He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And then 1 Corinthians 4:7, Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? We need to commence thanksgiving for the blessings God has given us. I looked for this, Brother Danny, in our songbook, and it's not, I couldn't find it. But it's a little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. When's the last time you sung that? To Him. I will praise Thee in life. I will praise Thee in death. I will praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. Thank God, He takes priority. Thank Him. Not only that, but thank your parents. You're not going to have your parents forever. Now, I know at this stage in your life, you may be saying, thank goodness. Thank the Lord for your parents. Many children don't have parents. There are children all over this world that have not a mom and they don't have a daddy. Thank your parents. Thank your husband. Thank your wife. Thank your children. Learn to be thankful. I believe that some days are better than others. And I think I can speak for you on this. There are some days that just seem to be better than other days. But on your worst day, you have so much to be thankful for and to express gratitude for. I will forever be grateful to my parents for teaching me to be grateful. They did not teach me. Now, Dan, if you think it's a good idea, why don't you try being grateful once in a while? They were a little more astringent than that. They said, you will be grateful. You will say thank you. Otherwise, I would have become an obnoxious cloud like many today who've never learned to say thank you. When I turned 80, I told the congregation that one of the ways you can know you're getting old is when all the old people start opening the door for you. Yeah. And every time they do it, I say, thank you. Thank you. I'm able to still open a door once in a while. But I know there's coming a day, if I don't die, somebody's going to have to open the door for me. Learn to say thank you. So in the last days, perilous times shall come, and unthankfulness is going to be one of the characteristic notes. Unthankful. Let's don't be that way, church. Let's learn to be a grateful people and a thankful people. And before the day ends, you go to somebody you know and say to them, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you've meant to me and what you've been to me. Let's stand, please, for prayer.